When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to First Class Fantasy. I'm Theo Greminger, and I'm joined always by my co-host, Billy Muzio. And we are honored and excited to be joined by now a two-time First Class Fantasy guest, Bob Harris.
I feel very fortunate.
Bob, we're so stoked to have you on. I heard this rumor from Billy that you guys have done all these like Super Bowl podcasts together over the last couple of years, and I felt very left out. So Billy's like, you know what, Theo, we're gonna include you this year. I'm like, thanks, bro. And so we got you on here for First Class Fantasy. Super stoked about it. And Bob, you have a really big, exciting sort of news is you are over with Football Guys now. People are so used to consuming your content other places, but has anything changed? Is it going to be pretty much the same MO for you this year? And anything different you're doing over at Football Guys?
It'll be fairly similar. I'll be doing plenty of columns, maybe a little less, you know, news updating than what I did at Football Diehards, you know. And by the way, just moving on from there is some horrible circumstances with Emil Cadlick dealing with a cancer diagnosis and just needing to step back. So horrible circumstance, but couldn't be a better landing spot. I been friends with Joe Bryant and that whole crew since the mid-90s. So it seemed like a natural landing spot. And they'll probably, you know, give me a little bit of free rein to do the kind of things I like. And I'm looking forward to that. Lots of video, lots of audio, and I'll continue on with the radio show. Kind of the Football Diehards on Sirius has become a brand unto itself. So me and Dempsey will continue harassing listeners as normal. So expect more of the same and expect an invite, Theo, because man, Billy's on all the time, right? Like Billy's like a regular. Billy's like way up there. And I'm thinking, man, and I haven't had Theo on. I'm starting to feel a little bad about it.
I know.
I would love him.
Love to. I go on with Alan Soslowski and like Jim Coventry and the RotoWire guys a lot. So I would love to. Anytime you need me, Bob, I'm there. But, you know, we usually start out by asking a guest a question here on First Class Fantasy. You know, we like to keep it, you know, polite and gracious for your time and everything. But I got to ask my co-host something. We look over, if you're watching this on YouTube, Billy Muzio is from NorCal. He's a San Francisco 49ers fan for life. And Billy, I got some hard facts for you. We have back-to-back Super Bowl losses from your San Francisco 49ers. They were leading the Kansas City Chiefs, and they had that look, the game looked like it was going to be in control, lost to KC last time they were in the Super Bowl. Two Super Bowls ago, it was the Harbaugh Bowl, and that was another game where it looked like San Francisco could win that game. The lights go out in the stadium. Baltimore ends up winning the Super Bowl. Are your 49ers now Super Bowl chokers?
Oh, you know, I saw this question on the show sheet, Theo, and I decided to create a jersey here for my Super Bowl adventure this Sunday. It's the Life Vac jersey. we got to make sure that we're staying safe in the Muzio household, no choking. So we're going to be using the Life Vac jersey here during the Super Bowl, and we're going to be prepared. But no, in all honesty, we've had some definitely difficult times in the Super Bowl. I think the last one was the most painful against the Chiefs. If I recall the situation right, there was about 4 minutes and 37 seconds on the clock. We were up two scores, and all we needed to do was run the ball. And Shanahan, of course, got cute and decided to throw the ball three straight times, and they were all incomplete passes. And that gave the Chiefs a lot of time. So I would like to hope that Shanahan has learned his lesson with clock management. He seems to be doing better this year than he has in years past, where he continues to throw the ball and try to run up the score and get cute, where I think that all you have to do sometimes is stick to the basics, especially in some of the biggest games of the year, and control the time, control the clock, control the game. And so I think that's what it's going to take for Shanahan to kind of overcome this kind of stain on his reputation when it comes to big games, is making sure that he's making the right calls when it matters the most.
And Bob, anything to add on that one? Any takeaways that you can take from the previous Kansas City, San Francisco Super Bowl game?
I'm not going to take too much from that, but I am going to take away something from the fact that Kansas City has most recently been in it and more of the players are familiar with the circumstances and kind of the things you go through in a Super Bowl week, the demands on your time and the distractions and all those things. I think that matters a little bit. It's such a big stage and hopefully the Niners get, so I picked the Niners going into the playoffs. So I have a little bit of a stake in this and I would like to see them fare well. So I do hope they can get past some of the issues they've had in the past with that. And look, if it's a learning experience, Shanahan has learned some hard lessons, and I'm sure he'll be out to right those wrongs in this game.
And guys, not even on the show sheet, but we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the AFC and NFC championship games. Billy, was there anything you learned from the Kansas City Baltimore game? I know that game certainly surprised me a little bit. Was it so much of a Kansas City ripping that game and winning it, or was it a little bit of Baltimore kind of leaving a lot to be desired, the play calling, just their own performance? What was your takeaway from that game?
Well, I believe Kansas City probably played some of their best football. I think Baltimore played some of their worst. And I think that Baltimore lost that game, not so much that Kansas City won that game. There was multiple mental errors. There was multiple times where they could have secured the win and they just didn't. You know, we had the goal line fumble, we had the drop passes, we had the penalty after the huge Zay Flowers catch. And so there was multiple instances where Baltimore handed away the game. Kansas City's been playing with more intensity throughout the playoffs than we've seen throughout the season, and statistically have had two of their best games in the season. And so it's hard to stop momentum. That's what I'm most afraid about with Kansas City, is that they're hot right now. And this is a team that you don't want to face when they're hot. But I do think that they are very beatable still. We saw them kind of collapse in season and they've had some ugly losses. So I think if we can bring that out in them here in this big game, I think that it's anybody's ball game.
Bob, anything to add from? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, like the Baltimore, you know, giving the running backs, what, six carries or something ridiculous like that was obviously that shouldn't have been the plan. Like they're not great running backs, but I mean, Baltimore's a run first team, and as putting the game on Lamar's shoulders against a defense that's, you know, designed to stop the pass and get after the passer, but maybe not so much against the run. I think that was a mistake. That was the mistake that will probably haunt them for some time. I think they've mentioned it since then. And also, you know, not to be overlooked, is Kansas City has been in these kind of situations. And I think Patrick Mahomes dismissing him, discounting him out of hand because this hasn't been his best year is probably going to end up, you know, being a mistake for people if that's what they do.
Yeah. And I think it's a little bit of both. I think Billy, you know, we could talk a lot about like Todd Monken. That's not what this show's about. But I do think the Travis Kelce touchdown with Hamilton defending him, where they went right at Hamilton on that, was like a statement. Yeah. So a little bit of Baltimore losing it, leaving a lot to be desired. The Zay Flowers fumble was about as painful a play for a franchise. That's like one in Baltimore Ravens franchise history. That'll be like one of the more painful things to watch and an opportunity to go to a Super Bowl. But start with you, Bob. San Francisco, Detroit. That game did not exactly go how we thought it would. The script was different than we thought, but it turned out to be an extremely exciting game. Detroit gets off to an incredible start, and then San Francisco makes this immense comeback. Really, Brock Purdy, the second half was just spectacular.
I think he was. And I mean, most notable as a runner, right? Which, you know, tucking it in and making some huge plays at critical times. I think the big takeaway, though, from the two recent playoff games is the defense knows it's on notice, right? I mean, they're acknowledging that it was lackadaisical and there was the effort wasn't what it needed to be. I don't think we'll see that in this game. I'm pretty sure they'll get that corrected. And if they do, I think I feel a little more comfortable about this outcome than maybe I otherwise would. I mean, I just have maybe a little case of the Mahomes jitters, but I do think the two games, you know, having to come back and come from behind, especially last week, was, you know, in a huge deficit, is obviously going to, you know, it's going to be serve them well, I think, heading into this game.
What was the decibel levels like in the Muzio household during the comeback back, Billy? Were you forced down to like your office in the basement to watch by yourself, or was the enthusiasm shared by the whole house?
No. So the kids had to put earmuffs on and go into the playroom as you know, dad was throwing F-bombs out of joy, of course. And maybe some despair in the beginning of the game. But there was a lot of excitement in the house. My wife is also a Niners fan, so she was all about the game and the comeback. She actually went downstairs at halftime to work out because she was like, this game's over. She had no faith. And then she comes back up to fill her water bottle and saw the score and like stopped her workout and stayed for the rest of the game. And she's like, can you rewind it? I'm like, absolutely not. No, we are not rewinding this and not going live. So a lot of excitement in the household. You know, it was a bit daunting because the Niners have just played with this lack of energy and almost look unprepared the last couple games. And Thea, we've talked about this off air, and a part of it to me is like, that's why I don't really like a bye in week one sometimes. So you could argue about it because they sat them in week 18. They sit the first week of playoffs. You're off 2 weeks now. Now you're in this lull and you don't have the same energy that you would have if you're playing every single week, and you get maybe in a rut or you're not, you know, in the same rhythm. And then you come back into the spring of things and you're 2 weeks now off, and it can create some definitely, you know, mismatches or some timing issues. And so that's what we're seeing. And it seems like it was fixed at halftime in that game. And we just saw that, you know, surge of energy and everyone kind of clicking on the same page now.
No, it was a fantastic game. And guys, you know, this is not all about like, you know, deep hitting NFL, you know, analysis. I want to know about what your Super Bowl traditions are. Is there a specific thing you love to do every year for the Super Bowl, Bob? Like, are you one of these content creators who just wants to dive into it? Like, don't talk to me. Or are you like, you know, a Super Bowl party type guy, get together guy? What is it like in your household?
So there is no party. I generally do the pregame show for the SiriusXM Fantasy Channel. That will be the case this year again. 3 hours from 3 to 6 Eastern time. So any partying I do will be in advance of that and then during the game. But I do like to, you know, kick back. Like, I don't have a team. I hate them all equally. So, you know, this is a product of growing up in Tucson, Arizona, at a time when there was no team in Arizona. And everyone I knew came from somewhere else. I was one of the few natives of Tucson, Arizona that lived in Tucson, Arizona. And so everyone comes up, my team is this. I'm a Bengals guy. I'm a Chief. I had nothing. And then when the Cardinals moved from St. Louis to Phoenix, I still felt like I had nothing. And turns out I was correct. So I get to enjoy the game just, you know, for the spectacle, you know, just for the fun of how, you know, watching how the ebb and flow goes and all those things. So I do enjoy my eats, and I kick back, and usually it'll be just me and my fiance kicking around and having a little quiet party and enjoying many snacks of all nature.
I love that. And Billy, before we dive into the food, what's the Muzio household look like? Or do you take it on the road for the Super Bowl?
No road, especially once I saw ticket prices this year. Holy cow. My couch looks just fine. That being said, I think this is, Bob, this is our 3 out of 4 years now for the Super Bowl that we've done a podcast together. Yeah. And so it's kind of been this tradition. Last year I was kind of in between sites. There was no podcast, but we're back on the bandwagon here with the Harris Muzio talks in the Super Bowl. That's kind of been a tradition for me for the last few years. And then we have food for me has been kind of this whole deal. I start brisket 2 days before the Super Bowl. I, you know, get the seasoning on the day before I throw it on, and at 10 o'clock at night, I throw it on Pacific time, and I stay up all night and I drink whiskey and I hang outside where it's freezing cold in Oregon, and I smoke brisket all night. And then I try to get some sleep in like 30-minute increments once we get close to the stall. And then I wrap it. And once I wrap it, I usually get a couple hours of sleep and then come back out and get this thing, you know, checked and off, and you know, the bark's already been created by then. But this brisket has been this kind of like Super Bowl Bible verse for me, where I follow it to the T now. Unfortunately, tore my meniscus last month, and I'm not going to be smoking a brisket this year because I can't get up and down the stairs that easily outside to inside. And so I am just going to be reverting to wings this year with some guacamole and bean dip. So a little boring this year, but I look forward to being healthy and getting back to the brisket next year.
Clarify the bean dip, Billy, because people want to know, are you a 7-layer bean dip guy, or are you you're just like a traditional bean?
No, it's not. I mean, I guess, I don't know if it's traditional or not, but it's pretty easy. You do like a can of beans. So you put in a slow cooker, can of beans, a cup of salsa, You use, like, I think it's like a half a stick of cream cheese, a cup of cheddar cheese, a cup of Monterey, and then you use, I'm missing a couple of ingredients here, cumin, chili powder. I'm missing something. It's going to drive me nuts. But there's one more ingredient I can't think of the top of my head. You let it cook together for like 2 hours, and then you got this amazing bean dip.
Fair. I love it. Bob, you mentioned snacks. What are your go-to snacks?
So as a general rule, I will make my own salsa and chips. I tend to be a healthy eater, but you know, and so I like to bake my own chips. That's not necessarily shared in the entire household. Some people would like the greasier store-bought chips. So that's fine. I'm okay with it. But I do like to make my own salsa, and I will go to great lengths, spending more time than I should. I like to use the grape tomatoes, chop them very finely. They're super flavorful. I like to, you know, kind of a salsa cruda, you know, more of a, you know, rough chop. I'm not very liquid and delightfully tastes. A lot of jalapeno, a little bit of serrano, quick heat, slow heat, to get it going. Plenty of onion. And I'll make some guacamole on the side as well. Always happy to do that. And then I'll, like Sunday for me, because I have a very regimented pattern during the week, Sunday is kind of like my free-for-all day. I like to make pizza. I am a great maker, a maker of great pizzas. I like to get out the old double zero flour and a little yeast and make the dough the day before, let it rise up, fire up the pizza oven there in the kitchen, not the outdoor, indoor, because you never know what's going to be going on outdoors. And so I will make some pie and have that as I munch on the other snacks. And there will be an array of snacks. My fiance will bring home a wide array of things. I'll do a little homemade ice cream too, though.
So it's gone kind of full circle for in the Greminger household. We used to be like Super Bowl party. We'd either go somewhere, and then you know we had kids, and it became a little more low key. And it's become kind of like my wife and I, you know, very low key. This year though, my son, who's a first grader, is having over a couple of his buddies and like their dads and a couple of it. So it's a little bit, it's going to be somewhat of like a kid and adult Super Bowl party. And then food wise, I got to say traditional buffalo wings. Buffalo wings are always a great one on Super Bowls for me. But I'm trying to eat a little healthier. So I tell my wife, I'm like, hey, we're talking about, you know, where we're getting from. There's a couple Italian spots. I'm on Long Island. So it's a scene, you know, everybody's ordering from all these Italian spots for the Super Bowl. But you got to get them in early. And I've told my wife, I'm like, listen, I want to eat a little healthier. So I'm going to order a platter of zucchini linguine with marinara and some grilled chicken. She goes, what's wrong with you? She's like, everybody's going to think you're a weirdo at our party. Nobody wants to eat like that. So now, you know, she really, really pushed me back on that one, Billy. But we'll have a full spread, you know, some pizza, some wings, and then a couple of healthy options. I slid in the zucchini linguine. So
I'm just gonna say, I was 7 years of just plant-based eating. I went back as you get older, you need a little more protein. So I went back to the meats about a year ago. But prior to that, it was like 7 years of plant-based, and so many Super Bowls were spent with things just like you outlined there.
I'll tell you guys, if you want to keep it Italian but you want to keep it healthy, little hack, especially for people living on the East Coast or, you know, more access to good Italian food than, you know, probably Oregon. You get a zucchini linguine, good marinara sauce, double order of grilled chicken. All bases are checked and you're good to go. But we got to dive back into the Super Bowl here, guys. And we're going to talk about prop bets. We're going to talk about the MVP. We're going to talk about you name it. We're also going to talk about how these players are looking for 2024 outlook in fantasy after we take a break.
Oh, I see it every day online, every single day. Hey, that looks like a great fantasy team in an 8-team league. Oh, wish I could be in a league with you, right? Well, guess what? Now you can respond with, sure, let's play on Bettl. That's the beauty of this platform. This new Bettl platform standardizes all position scoring. So you just load your team and you challenge your friend, your colleague, Twitter troll, and you can browse other teams and issue challenges. Bettl is revolutionizing fantasy football. And with code UNDERWORLD, you get a $100 instant deposit match plus a free $10. So even if you deposit $20, you get $50. Think about that. So go to Bettl.com. The code is UNDERWORLD. Bettl.com. The code is UNDERWORLD. Or click a link in the description. It's fun to be right.
Well, Welcome back to First Class Fantasy. Theo Greminger and Billy Muzio, joined by the great Bob Harris. Guys, you know, it's funny because the traditional NFL fan or your buddy who just loves Super Bowls, they really enjoy the Super Bowl for what it is. It's like a closed down thing. It's a single game. They sit back and relax. But for us in fantasy football, we're always thinking about like what's on the horizon. You're already thinking about 2024. Free agency is like a couple weeks away. The draft combine's like 2 weeks away. Franchise tags coming up. So, you know, when I'm watching these games, I'm thinking to myself, I don't want my dynasty players to get hurt. And is this going to affect my underdog drafts? I have a bunch of slow ones going on now. So I thought we could go around the horn here. Billy Muzio, start with you. Christian McCaffrey, is he the surefire 101 in PPR leagues next year?
I think you'll see him selected 101 probably 80% of the time, but I think you can still make a real argument for CeeDee Lamb if you were wide receiver heavy drafter or three wide receiver start leagues. But I think Christian McCaffrey will probably be the consensus 101, but real arguments can be made for CeeDee.
Anyone you want to stand for, Bob? For who's your 102?
I like Lamb as well. And maybe we gain a little clarity on the Minnesota quarterback situation. That could, you know, move Justin Jefferson back up if we get some, like, if Kirk Cousins returns, I'm probably going to go back to Jefferson at the top of the ranks. But I do, as things stand now, I have CeeDee Lamb at number one among wide receivers. Christian McCaffrey, though, is locked in for me. If I get, you know, like last year, I felt like there were six players that I could reasonably make an argument for as the 101, and I spread it out, then that was a reaction to the year before as Jonathan Taylor all in Palooza. You know, they came out wrong. You just wanted to get a little bit of variance in there. And maybe I'll do that again. We're all in enough drafts where you're going to get a handful of 101s. So, you know, when you're doing triple digits best ball, that's going to happen. So I'll probably chart it and keep an eye out, and I'll probably vary it a little bit. But I think for the most part, it's hard to avoid Christian McCaffrey for me. He's a player and a half at his position. That leverage over the field's hard to pass up on.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is weird, though, guys. Like, you bring up Justin Jefferson. Like, in a bunch of these early underdogs, I've got some, like, 106 Justin Jeffersons. Yep. It feels super weird. Billy, start with you on this one. Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, who should be drafted as the wide receiver one on San Francisco next year? And which one do you prefer?
I'm going to say most people are going to say Ayuk. I still lean Deebo. I like the ceiling play, and I like to see the explosiveness on a week-to-week basis from Deebo Samuel. You see weeks where Deebo puts up 40 points, and it's like it happened in the playoffs this year, right, in fantasy playoffs, where it's less likely for Ayuk to put up that type of score for me. So I'm chasing a ceiling outcome. I'm chasing the 1%, and I'm going to go for Deebo Samuel. Week-to-week consistency, the answer is probably Ayuk, but I'm going to shoot for the ceiling.
I think that's, you know, fair assessment. I always look at it like, you know, who's my first wide receiver? Is it a big hit or miss play? Do I need to even the field out? You know, and normally those leavening agents you look at like Keenan Allen or those, you know, those steady guys. I think, you know, Ayuk's moving that territory. I think the right answer for me is going to be the cheaper one. That's going to be Brandon Ayuk more. So I'll have way more shares of him by the time things are all said and done than I have of Deebo. But I do agree with what Billy says. I think Deebo gives you those super high games. So say you start out with a guy that you feel really comfortable with, a really solid, you know, weekly production, and you want to take a chance on a higher variance play. I think Debo's your guy as your second wide receiver early if you're drafting receiver.
Yeah, those guys, you could make a case for both. And I think both's a fine answer. Walk away from your drafts with one of the two of them. You're going to get some really, really big fantasy production. Fantastic, fantastic players. Gun to head, I'm Brandon Ayuk. I just love Ayuk. I'm kind of a sucker for Ayuk. And I do think he's got more expected target volume than Deebo. And I constantly worry about like a 28-year-old Deebo. As soon as, you know, he starts breaking down, those hits, they add up. Constant nagging injuries. I don't have as much of a worry with Ayuk, about 2 years younger. How about Rashee Rice, guys? Rashee Rice is been one of like the second half of the season stars among this rookie class. He's gone in fuego in early underdog drafts. Where do you predict he'll be drafted? What round in a PPR league, Billy, next year?
Oh, man.
Is 2-3 turn too spicy? Because I feel like that's where we're headed.
Yeah, I was going to say 2-3 turn. I see scenarios where it's going to be like pick 24, pick 23, maybe fall into like mid round 3 on drafts. It's going to be a player who's going to fluctuate a bit, and it's probably going to go early at times, later at times. But I say 2-3 is probably going to be the average.
I think that's fair. Like, I was just checking back at the most recent drafts I've been. I've seen him go as late as 3-11. I feel like that is probably still maybe earlier than I'm going to be spending on him. There are probably other players I like better in that price range. And like some of it, like for right now, I feel pretty good about him. But there's going to be moves. And I don't know if the Chiefs are great. Fred Veach is great at drafting some things, apparently. Quarterbacks, running backs in the seventh round. Wide receivers have not been a strength, Rice notwithstanding. So if they dip into the draft, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. If they land a big piece of free agency, yeah, I think a lot of people dial back. And if the price drops, my interest will increase.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting one. We talked about Mike Evans, like a big domino to fall, but I think there's also a chance that they just sign a moderately priced free agent, and then they draft somebody at the end of the first round or dip back in the second round, and Rice kind of like is a value for early drafters. So a little bit of risk taking him early, but I mean, he certainly seems to have chemistry with Mahomes, and you're starting to see him make big, impactful fantasy scores. Okay, how about this one, guys? Should Isaiah Pacheco be drafted as like RB10? Because that's the price on Underdog right now. Bob, start with you on that.
The eyeball, the fan of me says yes. I love watching him play. I love the way he runs. If he's going to continue getting that kind of volume, that's the question for me. Like, and I'm going to be focused on volume this year. As the NFL becomes, at least as I sit here and before I've processed and, crunched all the numbers, the volatility is off the charts. And how can I mitigate that the risk that comes from that volatility is with guys with certain volume. I think he looks to me to be one of those guys, barring any unforeseen changes. The one possible change, though, that's always going to be there is they get another receiver and the passing game goes back to something, to the leading piece of this. And, Travis Kelce's back. And like, we can talk about how Kelce, what we thought about, his season. I know it was a disappointment in general, but maybe it wasn't Kelce and it was still pretty damn good. And I think there's still some meat on that bone there for him. So I do think I like Pacheco. I think 10's right around where you're going to see him go, running back 10, which maybe puts him around the turn there or close to it at the 2-3 turn, depending on who you're drafting with. So I'll probably have some shares of him if I'm going receiver heavy early and he makes it into the third round.
Billy.
It's too rich for me. A lot of his success, in my opinion, although I like his energy and how hard he runs, but a lot of his success has been volume driven. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is now unrestricted free agent in 2024. Jerick McKinnon is probably not going to be re-signed. So they're more than likely going to address the position either in free agency or in the draft. So I think we're paying peak prices right now, because if they were to sign a name like Derrick Henry, or they were to sign, an older back that is nearing the tail end of his career, that's going to eat into that volume, then we're talking about RB 20, 24, 25 range maybe. And so I think this is probably peak drafting time for Pacheco. And I think it's only going to come down.
So Billy, I'm wish casting Henry to Baltimore. So I wish you would not harsh my vibe there with all this him to anywhere else talk.
I'm with you, Bob. I think Derrick Henry is a Baltimore Raven.
Should be.
I think like the Baltimore, Philadelphia, Dallas, if Derrick Henry leaves, it's going to be one of these offenses where he's going to fall in the end zone like 15 times. It's going to be awesome.
We're all going to be shocked when Harbaugh puts in the bid, the other Harbaugh in Los Angeles to fuel his run first offense.
Oh, that's man, true. that would be a nice spot too. But guys, I think Pacheco, it's like we see the year two backs that all took a huge leap forward in fantasy production. We've seen a huge correction in their ADPs, and like James Cook, Rashad White, Isaiah Pacheco, all three of those guys have just steamed up. And I think Pacheco is the one that I think I would bet against, just because the other two have cleaner profiles. And I think like we're talking about a seventh round pick. It would be so easy for Kansas City to end up with like a David Montgomery type that just ends up there chasing a ring, and all of a sudden Pacheco has capped volume in terms of his rushing attempts. And also, Billy, he caught the ball very well this year. I don't think that was the intention. I think you hit the nail on the head. McKinnon was banged up this year, which inflated Pacheco's use as a receiver. I think it all dials back a little bit next year and it becomes like a purgatory player at ADP. But Bob brings up Travis Kelce. Is Travis Kelce playing football next year, Billy?
I don't know. He's got a pretty sweet gig going on right now. He can fly on private jets down to Taylor Swift concerts and hang out. It'd be kind of hard to want to come back to football life if that was the alternative here. I think he's got another run in him. If they win, may alter the scenario. If they lose, I could see him coming back again next year. I'd say 65% returning next year, 35% no.
I'm closer to 70-30. And, you know, I mean, acknowledging that he said he's going to return does not mean he's going to return. We all know this. But also, I'm curious to see at some point, or if we'll hear, you know, missed week one with the knee injury, a hyperextension. I wonder if that maybe wasn't more of a factor into the season than anyone would have liked us to believe. I'm pretty sure it was, you know, certainly a factor early on after his return and how long it lingered. You know, hell, Kyle Pitts is still bitching about his knee, right? So, I mean, you know, a year removed. So I'm intrigued by him. I don't know that the price is going to fall enough for me to have a ton of shares of him. I think, you know, I've seen him go one first tight end off the board in at least one of the drafts, but mostly like right after Laporta. But, you know, third, fourth round. I mean, if he starts dropping a little more than that, I'll be all in. It'll be something to watch, though. I have a feeling, you know, that people are going to, who invested first round picks in him that don't play on the regular or drafted him early, are going to, you know, dial back due to disappointment, and maybe there'll be some value to be had at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that his, like, the indecision with what's going to happen with him next year is baked into the price on things like Underdog right now. Like, you can have a Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce stack for super, super cheap right now, and yeah, people are just avoiding it kind of at all costs. You're seeing guys like, you know, like Jaden Reed occasionally just goes in front of Travis Kelce, which if he announces he's coming back next year, there's going to be a huge correction. I don't know, Billy. It's like I was sitting here bashing the guy a couple weeks ago with you, and then he has a strong NFL playoffs when nobody's accumulating fantasy points. And it's sort of like, you know, once I thought I was out, they pull me back in type deal. If he falls to a certain point, you just can't pass it up because he could be a top five tight end again, and if not tight end one overall. But let's talk about one player who we don't have to worry about retiring. A guy who's maybe got the most advantageous contract in football right now is Brock Purdy for the San Francisco 49ers. He's got a roommate. I mean, you're a Super Bowl quarterback, and he's living with like a backup offensive lineman, you know, right around the team facility. I love the stories about Purdy. Guys are just coming out of the woodworks. Matt Rhule, who's the coach of Nebraska, goes on some rant this week talking about how when he was in Carolina, he wanted to draft Purdy. He was overruled, and now he's the coach of Nebraska, not in the NFL. But Purdy's been all like such an unbelievable success story for the San Francisco 49ers. But Billy, like, he was a waiver wire pickup his rookie season, obviously, when he had this great run and actually gave us fantasy performance then the year. Then this year was a tremendous value. If you were an early drafter in like Underdog, people were worried about Purdy's health, whether he would start the year. So there was a lot of like Underdog builds where you're having him as your QB2. Then in redraft, it was about the same. Like, he was never drafted as a QB1, finishes like fifth in the NFL in passing yards. He's like top six in passing touchdowns. His quarterback rating is through the roof, and he's got elite weapons around him. Where are you comfortable drafting Brock Purdy, Billy? Is he like a top eight quarterback for you, or is that getting a little spicy? Where are you at?
I think top 10 is realistic. I mean, he finished as the quarterback six this season. So, but people just don't want to throw any respect on what he's done just because of the story and being surrounded by talent in the system. And I'm totally fine with him being a system quarterback. I mean, I'm going to say it. Joe Montana was assistant quarterback of the Bill Walsh offense. Now it's called the Revolutionary West Coast offense. And so there are certain quarterbacks that exceed well in systems, and sometimes they just don't do well in systems. And so I'm completely fine with where he's at and what he's doing. And I think that from a fantasy perspective, top 10 is easily in the equation, given the weapons that he has and the system, the coaching system that he has. And so I'm going to draft him as such. I'm telling you what, Theo, a lot of my best ball teams with, because you know me, I push quarterback to the point where it scares people. Theo and I have been in drafts together, and he's like, what are you doing, Billy? Why do we not have a quarterback? It's round 17, you know? And I can tell you right now that my CJ Stroud and Brock Purdy teams really did well last year.
Yep.
And I am completely fine pushing that position and finding the value. But Brock Purdy was an excellent value last year and won people a lot of money.
I haven't gone back and looked at my winning teams, but I had a number of them, and I'm betting that he was on a lot of them. And so here, let me do this for all the people I'll be drafting with. System quarterback, boring, can't get it done, relies on the people around him. And while I'm drafting him, I couldn't agree more with what Billy says. I mean, you know, if you're sitting here casting aspersions on the guy, you're not looking, you're not paying attention to the results on the field. And that's what matters to me. I don't care if he's good in a system. It's a great system, by the way. And if you have to be a mini Shanahan and execute exactly what the coach wants you to execute to succeed in that system, I'm happy to see that he does that and see that he succeeds in that system where he is surrounded by superstar players at every position, right? There are playmakers at every single position. This is a no-brainer for me. And I think the great news is you're right. I definitely top 10. I haven't seen a draft where he goes in the top 10 among quarterbacks yet that I've been in. Just the mock drafts I've done. The best balls will probably be different. I'm sure people will be taking more chances, but I hope they dial back because I'll be all in.
Yeah, Theo, best balls. Real quick, I know it's not a Brock Purdy podcast, but can I just share a few stats real quick?
Yes, Billy.
Yards per attempt, 9.6. Quarterback, 1. We have play action completion percentage, 69.2%. Quarterback, 1. Deep ball completion percentage. Brock Purdy's not known for having a strong arm. 55.3% quarterback number 1. There are several other metrics in here that he's top 5, top 3, top 6. And we could sit here and do a whole podcast on this. But head on over to the Player Profiler page. Take a look at Brock Purdy and just look at the metrics. And then I want to hear an argument why he shouldn't be top 10.
I agree. I could sort of agree with you, Billy. And it's sort of like, well, you know, Bob, you bring up like the best ball, but it's just so easy to have build correlation with Purdy as well because of multiple weapons. And Billy, it's also one of those like quarterbacks that we can pair with his running back too. Shout out to Dan Williamson. Dan Williamson had an absolute monster high stakes team this year, which was a full 49ers stack where I think he had either both wide receivers in Kittle or it was like McCaffrey and Purdy, and he nearly won a huge amount of money in that. So yeah, Purdy's locked in. He's really, really good. And he's also got a little bit of killer in him that he showed like at the end of last playoff game against Detroit. He's got some dog. He's got some killer in him. Don't let the khakis fool you on the way into the stadium. He's got true. A little dog in him.
Yeah. That is 100% correct take. And you saw it on those runs, man. He didn't he didn't slide. There was no slide in there. He was picking up every damn yard. So I'm kind of with you on this one.
Yeah, no, for sure. Guys, we got to dive into the prop bets, though. People love prop bets. Are you guys prop bet players? Do you enjoy the props?
I enjoy them to a degree. We do a lot of it, you know, a lot of discussions on Sirius, and that will be like a focus on the pregame show on Sunday. And I'm seeing some of the props, and I just got to, you know, we have some great guys on Sirius. Jason Mizrahi last year from Win Daily hit a huge one. It was a Devontae Smith yards total first and second half at like plus 1,000. He hit that one. I'm just seeing he has like Patrick Mahomes rushing yards each half, like 24. I think it's like 25 rushing yards each half at like a plus 1,000 or something. He's going with that. I'm suddenly interested. But I do like some of those. I mean, you can cobble together all kinds of zaniness. So I do like the, you know, that ability to go in and kind of do a really precise thing that maybe you believe in. There's something there for everybody. If there's going to be something you believe in, and I'm all about that.
I love it. And I'll start with Billy on the on like a prop that a lot of people enjoy, the Gatorade bath. We talk about in the pre-show right now. Purple is plus 275. Orange is plus 350. Traditional orange for like the old school drafters. Red and pink, you get the combo for plus 350. And then no Gatorade bath is plus 160. Billy, do you find value in any of those Gatorade props?
I like the 2-for-1, pink and red. I'll take my chances.
I love that. I love that one too. How about you, Bob?
I like the purple, man. I'm going, you know, that was last year's winner. I'll stick with that and do regardless of the team. By the way, it's plus 2,400 for Mahomes, 25 yards each half.
That's good.
I like the one. And you know, you guys are going to dive into the case for each team, but Billy's 49ers, you know, chasing him out of the pocket and him just taking the easy 6-7 yard rush multiple times, you're hitting that. I kind of like that one. You know, Mahomes tends to run a little bit more in big games too. Back to the props, guys. Will Travis Kelce propose to Taylor Swift? Yes is +1,060. No is -3,000. Which way is your money going on this one, Billy?
I'm going no. I'm not getting any juice worth the squeeze, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Billy's laying $3,000, everyone. Bob, your thoughts on this one?
I'll put a dollar on yes.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, someone's giving me the +1,060. Billy's gonna lose his shirt at the end of the game. 49ers lose, and Kelce drops on one knee. Billy's it's gonna be don't talk to Billy for weeks. Guys, how about this is an important one before we dive into the MVP. Team total points. You can find 23.5 for both teams. It's just juiced up different ways, but your initial lean on 23.5 for either team, Billy, is there one that you lean with on that?
Yeah, I take the over prime both. I think, although I could see this being a lower scoring game, I just don't think it'll happen. You got two explosive offenses. You got a lot of eyes on the game. I'm not an NFL script kind of guy, but let's just face it. NFL would not allow this to be a, you know, low scoring Super Bowl matchup. So I'm going to say I'm taking over on both of them. I'm taking the over on the 47.5 too.
Same.
Okay. Easy. Yeah. So 47.5, Bob and Billy both like it. I like it as well. I think I agree with you. I think it's going to be a really entertaining, let's call it a 31-28 type vibe from this game. Now guys, the one bet that a lot of people like betting is the MVP. And let's start from the bottom of the players listed. And is it even worth considering? Yes, this can be a yes or no, unless you have context. Nick Bosa is +7,500 right now. It's pretty hard to imagine that one. So we'll keep moving on. Here's an interesting one. Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle are both +6,000 in some books. Can we galaxy brain a scenario where they catch multiple touchdown passes, but they don't give the MVP to Brock Purdy?
I cannot.
Yeah, I cannot either.
I can't either. They're just so boxed out. I mean, Kittle would have to do like two classic George Kittle, like 75-yard, 60-yard touchdown runs where he knocks over a Chief defender or hurdles somebody or does something like incredibly memorable. With Ayuk, it's going to go to Purdy. The credit will go to Purdy. No matter what, it's just hard to imagine him doing something.
It would take three bounces off face masks, catches to get him there.
There you go. Okay, this one's interesting. Rashee Rice, it actually came in big time. Rashee Rice is +5,000. He's got better odds than Kittle, better odds than Ayuk. I still think, again, it's going to Mahomes if Rashee Rice has a big game. Billy?
I think so. Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is traditionally a quarterback award. It's very hard when the quarterback does not get it if the team wins and he does well. So, I mean, we even saw where Chiefs were there last time, and I forget was it Darrell Williams who
Damian Williams. I mean, Damian Williams deserved it.
Let's talk about
deserved it.
That tells you.
That tells me right there that it's going to the quarterback. So,
right. That's.
I mean, he was the person who should have had it. Easy. Okay. So you have to go quarterback here.
Okay, so we're eliminating Rice, but now we're at Isaiah Pacheco scenario where Isaiah Pacheco falls in the end zone a couple times, guys. This could happen, and he's at +2,500. A waste of money or worth sprinkling if you're, you're betting multiple spots?
I'll sprinkle if I'm betting multiple spots.
Yeah, I'd sprinkle as well, but they'll probably give to Mahomes for handing the ball off cleanly.
If what Theo says happens, like if he does, if he gets multiple touchdowns, and and Mahomes does it, maybe he gets two as well, I think it would go to Pacheco.
Now, the one kind of like long odds player that I like is Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel is +2,000, and you could find it as high as +2,500 to win the MVP. But there's just something about Debo with his versatility, Billy, where he could get a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown,
or return
in a big game. That's the one, like, I could ignore everybody below, but I would sprinkle a little bit of Debo action. You want to talk me off that one, Bob, or are you on that one?
No, too? I'm on that one as well. I think we've hit the territory where I can tell a happy story about any of these guys.
There's one really deep that I think we need to discuss, Theo. I don't know if it was on your sheet or not.
MVS?
It's worth throwing at least $10 on it. it's Sam Darnold for MVP, because what happens if Brock Purdy gets hurt early in the game and then Sam Darnold comes in, they win the Super Bowl. Let's say he throws for two or three touchdowns. All of a sudden, he could potentially be the MVP of the game. Now, it's a long shot, but it's plus 20,000 odds. Worth the sprinkle for 10 bucks?
Billy, I don't know if brisket's the only thing being smoked at the Muzio household. You could basically take your $10 and you set it on fire betting on Sam Darnold, guys. And, you know, that's when you get the Christian McCaffrey or the Deebo Samuel MVP. Is they're not going to give it to Darnold. No shot at all. Christian McCaffrey, though,
plus 20,000, Theo, plus 20,000.
Anytime somebody offers you plus 20 grand, you got to put like a dollar.
Like, I'm
on
a
it,
plus guys. Money slave. I will dive into that. Even I'm not going that far.
Billy's diving in the weeds on that one. Okay, so Deebo, we all kind of think is interesting. Travis Kelce, if you believe in the conspiracy theories, and this is a Taylor Swift type Super Bowl, Travis Kelce at only 12-1. And guys, I would like love to check this historically. I'm not going to check it, though. But this has to be one of the lower odds for a tight end to win. Like, Gronk had to have been getting 12-1 in a couple of those Super Bowls, something like that. But it was always, like, Brady juiced up. I got to say, 12-1 for a tight end seems like that's really, really low. Thoughts on either of you guys?
I like it. I've seen him, like, on the board at plus 1,700. I think that's, just like, I'll take some of that.
The chat is joining Billy on the Sam Darnold bet. Shout out to Jonah's Whale.
That would be awesome. I'm saying it's worth a shot, man. 10 bucks pays out.
I buy lottery tickets too, so I guess it is.
Exactly.
That's right.
Probably better odds than the lottery.
Okay, so guys, Christian McCaffrey, it's actually come in. It's down to like only like 4-1 or 4.5-1, plus 450 for Christian McCaffrey to win the Super Bowl MVP. This one could be like the anti-Brock Purdy one. If the 49ers win running away, like, this is a really enticing one. Billy, want to make the case for McCaffrey?
Yeah, I think McCaffrey's probably the best positional player outside of the two quarterbacks that has the best bet of becoming MVP. We saw the season he had. It probably, is going to get offensive player of the year. This is one of those things. It's kind of an attaboy also if they win, and here's Super Bowl MVP.
Billy is correct.
Okay, so we all like McCaffrey a little bit. And then you got the quarterbacks. Brock Purdy at plus 230, and Mahomes is down. Mahomes was like closer in. He was like plus 125. Now it's like plus 150 in a lot of spots. Do either one of those kind of jump at you? I mean, Mahomes is like, the guy wins another Super Bowl, they'll find a way to give it to him kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's, I think Kelce's in the running there. McCaffrey is on the other side. I think those are the two positional players that would limit them. But they love giving them to quarterbacks. I mean, it's worth throwing a few bucks down on each of them.
Okay, guys, now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. Bob and Billy, you're going to answer the same thing. How does Kansas City win the Super Bowl?
First of all, they don't, but no. Second, it's Patrick Mahomes.
High school debate question, Bob. Right. You have to argue both sides.
Right. It's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, to me, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, there'll be some sprinkling of other big plays. I think MVS, they need one of those Baltimore-like, big plays from him at the right time. But if they win this game, look, in defense will be a factor too. And Steve Spagnuolo did a great job against Baltimore, even though I feel like he got some help from Baltimore's play calling. And I don't think he'll get that from San Francisco. But if he comes up with a scheme similar and can keep Purdy in check, I think you could see a strong defensive battle and Pat Mahomes leading the way.
Billy, how do your 49ers lose to the Kansas City Chiefs? What's the game plan if you're Andy Reid and Matt Nagy and Spagnuolo?
They'll lose if they can't get pressure on the quarterback, because we've seen them get diced up in the secondary by teams that get time to throw. The game that sticks out most to me this year was Kirk Cousins before he got hurt in that game against the Vikings, and they weren't able to get any pressure on Kirk Cousins. He just sat back and diced up the secondary. And so the Niners secondary is the biggest weakness. They kind of hide it with the stout front that they have, and by getting pressure on the quarterback. And if they aren't able to do that, kind of scared to see what Mahomes do to our secondary.
Okay. Bob, how does San Francisco beat Kansas City?
Christian McCaffrey being Christian McCaffrey. I mean, you know, that's to me the run defense. I mean, it's not a horrible run defense, but they're built more to get after the passer and stop the pass. I think McCaffrey having a big game, and you know, big game is like kind of meeting what the expectations are. Hitting is, you know, the 100 rushing yards, 40 receiving yards, 30, 40 receiving yards, and a touchdown and a half would be perfectly suitable to me.
Billy, how do your 49ers win?
Well, it starts with getting to the quarterback, but we just touched base on that. The second part is going to be quick releases from Brock Purdy and getting a lot of slants, getting a bunch of screens. We're going to need to get creative and get the ball out quickly. We saw him struggle in the beginning of the last two games against Green Bay and against Detroit when he was holding onto the ball and having to scramble for his life. So I think that the game plan, or at least it should be, is to get some quick slants across the middle, get some screens, get some play action, and to really get that defense to bite.
And if they get the pressure on Purdy, him making some plays like we saw against Detroit, those plays were huge difference makers. As much as the bounce off the face mask was a huge difference maker, those runs were greatest in particular. So I don't take that away from Purdy. I think, you know, if they get the rush on him, and they will, if he can make some plays like that, that'll work in his favor.
Who is the fantasy MVP? Forget about who wins the Super Bowl MVP. Which player, if this was week 14 and these two teams are playing, and we remove the Super Bowl from the title of this game, which player is going to have the most impactful fantasy football performance? Start with you, Billy.
It's going to be Christian McCaffrey. I mean, the guy is just a machine. If he's not, the Niners are losing as well. And so right. I think we're going to have to get the run going early. We're going to have to take the ball out of the Chiefs' hands and manage the clock. So I think Christian McCaffrey's MVP on fantasy.
Second that.
And I'm going to third that, too. I think McCaffrey's going to go for 25-plus fantasy points, maybe 30. And that kind of leads us into a segue here, guys. Who is your Super Bowl MVP? Start with our guest, Bob Harris.
I'm going to go with McCaffrey.
Real-life MVP?
Real-life Super Bowl MVP.
Brock Purdy, the GOAT.
I'm going to go with McCaffrey as well. McCaffrey, guys, plus 450. That's the bet. That's the Super Bowl MVP bet that you want to make. You know, they're going to find a way to take it away from Purdy, Billy, and give it to McCaffrey. And I can
hear me out, Theo. Hear me out. The NFL needs a new Tom Brady. They got to start this new era, this new storyline, this script, this David and Goliath, the underdog taking on Patrick Mahomes. It's going to start this whole era of the underdog now. So I'm going with the script here, Theo.
You can't be David in the David Goliath story when you're passing to Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and you have Christian McCaffrey next to you and that defensive front and that offensive line. No, you can't frame that. You know, Tom Brady, a little different, guys. Okay, here we go, guys. We're down to the nitty gritty here. Who is your Super Bowl? Who, let's say the final score of the game and who wins the Super Bowl? Bob Harris.
31-24 San Francisco.
Ooh, that's a good one too. I'm going to say 27-24.
San Francisco. I'm going to say 33-24 San Francisco. Christian McCaffrey, MVP. And that's all she wrote. Bob Harris, this was really, really fun. Let everybody know where they can find your work.
Footballguys.com is where they keep it all. And I'll have a column coming out tomorrow, an in and out column for the Super Bowl. There are no outs. I'm going to just give you a foreshadowing here. Everyone's in play in a one game slate, people. You all know that. And we'll just kind of sort through those. And all offseason, I'll be doing some instant reaction articles on free agency. And as we head into the season, much, much more. Also, you'll continue to hear me on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, Football Diehards. We've got another week of four shows a week, and then we get into the off-season mode, which is every Saturday. So be prepared for that until we hit draft time, and then it gets busy again.
And Billy Muzio, you are headed to Las Vegas right after the Super Bowl. Monday. You're leaving Monday?
I leave Monday, yep.
So look for Billy. There's going to be some very cool announcements on the way here from Player Profiler. Billy's been kind of like, you know, anytime you didn't see Billy on First Class Fantasy this year and you're like, where's Billy? Why is it only Theo? Billy was in the lab cooking. And we have some very cool announcements on the way. So Billy, next time you're on First Class Fantasy, you're going to have a chance to really talk about it. But I'm excited for that. And we also have another big announcement on Sunday for a new show coming on Player Profiler as well. The First Class Fantasy audience is the first to hear about that one. So we're doing a lot of really cool things here at Player Profiler. Check out Dynasty Life. If you're a Dynasty player, it's my Dynasty podcast. I had Bob's colleague from Football Guys, Jeff Bell, on this week. I've had, you know, a lot of the big Dynasty follows and some of the sharpest Dynasty minds kind of on Dynasty Life. Press coverage, First Class Fantasy. We got you covered all offseason long. It's been a real pleasure this year for us here at First Class Fantasy, and we hope you have an amazing Super Bowl weekend.
Hey, I want to take a moment to thank you for tuning in. It's important to me that all of our media be free. This is only possible because of you, allowing a true independent sports media enterprise to thrive unlike any other in the business. So please subscribe to the All-In Package to continue to make all of this possible, to ensure that all of our stats, information, data, content is available to you, especially you, the people that get the site and get the show.